Morning, everybody. Welcome to another exciting installment of Bates of Banana. I don't know why I keep doing that. You've almost winter wonderland. We are here on the very bottom of Kuf Chesamud. We're about to get on to Kuf Tes, which is Gematria Cat, because no matter what happens to us, whether we have recording difficulties or whether the shiur gets posted late, unfortunately, we always land on our feet like a cat. Megaresh Ishta Vehechzira. If a man is marries his wife and then he divorces her, then she is mataris to him. But Rabbi Eliezer oser, and Rabbi Eliezer holds no, actually she's not. Once she has once been divorced to the guy, even though she can is now married to him again and it's allowed and everything is fine, she still cannot do yibum. The Gemara will talk about why. Yasoma. Similarly, someone is Megarashi is Soma, which means that again it was a rabbinic marriage and he gave her a get and then he remarries her. Yavam. He is allowed to, the Yavamim are allowed to do Yibam with her if he dies. And Rabbi Elazar Oser, and Rabbi Elazar forbids her. Katanash, I mean, no, she cannot. Katanash Avia. This one is a little more complicated. Let me point out why. The first two cases were the same level marriage. You had a Doraisa marriage, and then he gave her a get, and then he redid a Doraisa marriage. Second case, Durabanan marriage, he gave her a get, and then redid a Durabanan marriage. However, in this case, we're about to see, it was a Doraisa marriage, so then he gave her a get, and Doraisa, she is a Grusha, but then he married her Midurabanan, which is allowed, but it doesn't take away the fact that Midoraisa, she's a Grusha to him, as we're about to see. Ketana she'asiya avia, a ketana whose father married her off, which is okay midoraisa, miniskarsha, and then he gave her a get. Ki yisoma b'chayav, she's called an orphan in her father's life, like we saw before. Once he marries her off once, minatara, he can't do it anymore. The rabbis let him do it once. Vechzira, the husband then remarried her midarabanan. Divrei HaKol, asura liyavan, everyone agrees that she cannot marry the yavam. So before I explain it, let's just go over. We said that if it's a Doraisa marriage, get another Doraisa marriage, then there's a machlokas. Derabanan marriage, get, and then Derabanan marriage, there's a machlokas. But if it's a Doraisa marriage, get, and then a Derabanan marriage, everyone agrees that he cannot remarry. The question with all this is why. The Gemara is going to go through a few ideas of what the machlokas is here, but it's all based on the same chakira. You guys wanted a chakira, I'm going to give you a chakira. Here we go. We have an idea called nefilo liyibum. I'm sure we know about this. If somebody dies without children, then the wife falls to the brothers in yibum. Now, when we say falls, what does that mean? Or that she falls to them in yibum? How? What? I don't know. So there are two ways of looking at this. One way of looking at this, obviously we can split it among other things too, but right now we're talking about what is the force, what is the context within which she fell to the brothers. Do we say that it's because, or it's through the fact that just the husband's death, which would mean that as long as the husband's death can affect a relationship of yibum, meaning now that he died, she could be mutaris and yibum to everybody, that's all we need, and we ignore everything else. That's called misa mapelis, which means his death is what causes her to fall to them in yibum. And that's it. And that's the only thing we look at. I mean, obviously, that's always what causes her to fall to them in yibum. But the point is, that's the context. That it's just about he died? Okay. When he died, would she have been mutar to them if yibum were an option? Yes? Okay. That's it. Good. But there's another kind also. There's another way of looking at it, which is called Nisuin Harishonim Mapilin. That the first marriage is what causes her to fall to them. And the simple way of understanding that, although it's not the greatest translation of the words Nisuin Harishonim Mapilin, feel free to do that homework on your own. The simple understanding of that is that it's actually not the death itself that we look at, it's their whole time being married together. If through their whole marriage they just had a plain and simple marriage to the point where if he died that she could then do yibum with the brothers, then when he dies it's okay. But if there was a point in the marriage where she had an additional erva to the brothers, or there was something else wrong that even had there been had Yibum technically been relevant, we would have still said she can't marry them. Then even when he dies, we do not let her marry them. So what's the case? Let's say this case, Masu Grushasa, one theoretical possibility. He gave her a get. So throughout the whole first marriage, she could marry them, no problem. Throughout the whole second marriage, she could marry them, no problem. But there was this little chunk in the middle where she was the grusha of their brother. And the Oman is not allowed to marry the grusha of their brother. And therefore, she is an erva to them during that time. Now, that doesn't matter now, you'd think, because now she's not a grusha. Now she's actually married to him. But since we say that the context we look at for Yibum is not just the death itself, according to this opinion, but their entire married career, therefore, they could not marry her because they had a time when they were an erva to her. That's the simple way of understanding this machlokas. So the Gemara is going to use that as a springboard to try to understand Rav Elazar and the Rabbanan. I know it took a while, but I think it'll help. Amar Eifa says, my time of the Elazar. What's Rav Elazar's reasoning that he says that the brothers cannot marry her in these cases? That since she was usher to them for a moment, therefore they can never marry her, like we just said. The simple understanding this is that Nisuin HaRishonim might be low, like we just said. Good. Amar Rabbanan Eifa. The rabbi said to Eifa, "Ihachi, if so, if you're gonna tell me that we view her as an erva to them, then not only can they not marry her, they don't shouldn't even need chalitza because she's an erva to them." And the Gemara says, "Vachitei, maybe you'll tell me, yeah, in achinami, they don't need chalitza; she could just walk away." Can't say that because Vasanya, we have a baraita, Mishum Rabbi Elazar Amru Choletzes. In the name of Rav Elazar, it was said that they have to do chalitza. She needs chalitza. So you see, Rav Elazar can't be saying that they're an erva to each other, and that's why. Because then, what? This. She wouldn't need chalitza. We already know this in the first parak, that if someone's an erva, they don't need chalitza. They can just walk away. First Mishnah. Ah, good. So that can't be pshat. So Ella Amar Eifa, a second version of Eifa. This one I find funny. Here's the second version of Eifa. Rabbi Elazar, lo yadana mai taima. Rabbi Elazar's answer is, I don't know what Rabbi Elazar holds. I don't know. So that was his answer. What about Abaye? Amar Abaye. I know Tam of the Elazar. Rabbi Elazar's reasoning is, it's sort of like Eifa, but it's a little different. Mesafkole imisa mapeles. He has a suffix. He's not sure whether Misa is what makes it go or whether the Nisuin is what makes it go. So, and therefore, if it's just, if the whole context is the death and she's moved to them in time of death, that's the end of the story, then she falls before them in Yibum. If, however, the Nisuin HaRishonim are what make it, then she stood to them. To him, Sha'achas be'isra. There was a moment where she was asura to them, and therefore it's a problem. So they can't do yibum because maybe she's an erva, but they can't just let her walk away because maybe she's actually supposed to have yibum. Solution in those cases, as we know, is chalitza. Rava, new answer. Why does Rabbi Elazar argue? The olam pshita. This one is Rabbi Elazar basically in logic agrees much more to the rabbis than we thought. But there's another reason why he holds that they cannot do yibum in these cases. Rav Amar Rava says, "Olam pshita Rabbi Elazar." Really, it's clear to Rabbi Elazar. He knows the Misa Mapelas, that it's the Misa that does it. Still, mi oaleva, a kol bekin begerishin. Everyone, the passerby, they know they got divorced. Ve'ena kol bekin bechazara. Not everyone knows they got remarried. So it's really a practical problem. The reason they can't do yibum with the husband's remarried lady is that people might think that she was not remarried. And they might think they're doing Yibam with the grusha of the husband, which is obviously a problem. Gemara asks, Adrabah, what do you mean? How can you tell me that people know they got divorced and don't know they got remarried? The opposite should be true. Chazara came into Yosva to say, Isla Kala. Chazara, remarriage, came into Yosva to say, since she's sitting by him, she's living with him, It's like Kala. There's a word. Everybody realizes at some point when they show up to four simchas together, you know, that they're married. Milo Askina, the Gemara says that's true. You're right. Most of the time people do know, but sometimes people don't. And if you look in the language in the Mishnah doesn't distinguish. Milo Askina, are we not also dealing with in the Mishnah? Da Hadra Beorsa Beshachiv Betzafra, that he remarried her in the morning. Sorry, he remarried her at night and he died in the morning. In other words, where the word hasn't spread yet, and therefore, basically, since the Mishnah doesn't make any exceptions, we're definitely including cases where people don't know. Now, still, most cases people probably do know. Barava's point is that it's a low plug. He's not going to make a distinction because sometimes people do know, sometimes people don't know. So instead of going to, you know, the security footage and trying to figure out whether people know or don't, rather, they just make a simple rule, duchalitza, end of story. Ravashi says, well, has a whole other reason, Rav Elazar, why a remarried lady cannot do yibum with her brother. The gazar mishum yosoma. We already know that the last line of the Mishnah, everyone agrees that if a man marries off his daughter, right, ketana midoraisa, he has the right to do that. Once and there at that moment, if in that first marriage, if the husband dies, she'd be mutter to everyone in Yibam. But think about it. Then, this is why everyone agrees at the end of the Mishnah. Then, at the end, if he gave her a get and now she remarries, which is derabanan, so midoraisa to all the brothers, she's an erva even after they got remarried because she's the grusha, the brother. And the second rabbinic marriage doesn't undo that. It's mutter for the husband to marry her for sure, but she's an erva to the brother. A new erva of the grusha of the husband, even though she's married to him, she's still the grusha, midoraisa. So everyone holds that's a problem, and therefore, Hanitam Rav Elazar, the gazar hani mishum yosoma b'chaye av v'chzira. Rav Elazar says all other cases we're going to not let them do yibum either as a gezeira to protect this case, which would really be a problem in midoraisa. The Gemara says hakli nami mistabra. This is also reasonable. But that's what we're talking about. Midikatani Seifa, because the end of the Mishnah it says, as we saw, Katana Shesia Aviyavaneskarsha, a Katana's father married her off and then she got divorced, Biyasoma, Kiyasoma B'chayav. Now she's an orphan in her father's lifetime, Bechzira, and then he remarried her, Midarabanan. Debrei HaKol Shosura LeYavam, everyone agrees that she's forbidden to the Yavam, as we said. Hai Mai Lameimra, this, what's this coming to say? What's the point of this? Pshita, this is obvious. Right, because we already understand this. It's very, very logical. She's a grusha, midoraisa, and they can't solve that problem by remarrying midrabanan. Ella, rather, lav, hakumashmon. Is it not teaching us this? Meaning it's teaching us this. Tama, de Rabbi Elazar, the Rabbi Elazar's reasoning, the gazar hanoth, that he made the gazera, mishumai, is because of this. Meaning the fact that the Mishnah added this extra case in the at the end that everyone seemed to understand intuitively, and we didn't need a source for. So then the reason the Mishnah added that is to show me that that's the focal point around which Rav Elazar built his Shita. Shema Minah, learn from this. There's a train. Shema Minah, learn from this. Don't learn from the train. I mean, yes, you should learn from the train. You know, Chaim's lesson from the train, I think it was that if you're late, if you're a minute late, you know, then you already missed it. Tanya Kova Seder Ravashi, another brisa to support Ravashi, that Rav Elazar's whole point here is a gezeira. This story is a little simple and the proof is a little complicated, but the facts are pretty doable. Modim Chachamim Rav Elazar. We said this already. The rabbis agreed to Rav Elazar that if a father married off a katana, midoraisa, so she got divorced and then she's Yosoma B'chaye Av, and then he remarries her midorabanan, then they cannot do Yibam. Why? Because the Gerushin is a total Gerushin. But the remarriage is not a full remarriage, as we just said. But Medvarim, when do the Chachamim agree to Rabbi Elazar that she cannot do Yibam? Shegerusha Gashi Katana. That's when he gave her a get when she's a Katana. But Chazira Gashi Katana remarried her as a Katana. However, Aval, but Gerusha Gashi Katana. Let's say he gave the Gerushin while she were a Katana. And then she grew up and became an adult. And now he remarried her midoraisa, which should be a case that whatever we'll see in a minute. Inami, alternatively, or he remarried her when she's a katana. the Gadra Etzlo, and then she grew up by him, and then at some point, I mean, the Bia could be Nisuin. So at some point when she's a grown up, I mean, the first time she's an adult and they have Bia, and they're obviously trying to be living together, so therefore that is a Nisuin. Gadra Etzlo Lameis. Ochel, and then she died. So bottom line, their second marriage was Doraisa. Ochel, that says either Chalitza, Omis Yabemis, or Yibum, either way is fine. Good. Because now it's just a Doraisa marriage followed by a Doraisa marriage. Mishum Rabbi Elazar said, in the name of Elazar, they said, Amru, Chalitza, she must do Chalitza, Omis Yabemis, and she must not do Yibum. So that's the story. It's relatively simple. The idea seems to be that the Tana in this Brisa, it seems to be, if you look at the way it's said, is that there was already the case they all agreed, which was the Doraisa followed by the Darabanan marriage. But then Rebbe Elazar's paskening only in these cases of where you had the two marriages that were not like that. So it sounds like Rav Elazar's not paskening in all three cases. His real the real thing, the chiddush that he's coming to tell us is these two other cases, and it seems that they're based on the first case. That's what I'm understanding for right now. Fine. Ba'amine Rava mirav Nachman. Rava asks a she'ela, or an iba'aya, to Rav Nachman. What's the Ibaya? Let's find out right now. Tzorosa mahu. What is the law in regard to her co-wife? In other words, what about the tzara of this girl? She's not an avodah to them. We said that these people are rabbinically prohibited to her because of a gezeira, but that's the only reason. She's really not an erva. So this lady, the tzara, is she's not a tzaras erva. She's not even a tzaras erva midrabanan. She's a tzaras gezeira. Is that a thing? The Amar Leir of Nachman said to Rava, "Ki gufa gezeira, it itself. The reason you can't do yibum with that girl anyway is rabbinic gezeira. Va'anan, and we nekom, we're gonna get up v'nigzar gezeira, and we're gonna make a gezeira on this. No. So why would you even think it's a problem?" The Gemara says, I'll tell you why. V'hatanya, we have a baray too. Mishum Rabbi Elazar Amri. The name of Rabbi Elazar they zogged. He v'tzarusu chalitzas. He and her tzara, they need to do chalitza. That's what Rabbi Elazar says. So boom. Now the Gemara asks, it's obviously not actually pshat that you need chalitza from two people, because you never need chalitza from two people. One person is fine. That's something I didn't know at the beginning of this year, along with other things. He v'tzarusu chalitzas. The Gemara asks, her and her tzara? Really? They both need chalitza? Two people don't need chalitza, only one needs chalitza. Elo, lav, rather what? I'll tell you, oh he, oh tzarasa chalitzas, either she needs chalitza or her tzara needs chalitza, either or. So, bottom line though, yeah, that the tzarasa needs chalitza. It's geschriben, it's official. So you see that Tzara does need chalitza. And the Gemara says, no, there's no raya from this brisa, because anyway, you have to play with the lashon of the brisa anyway. So once you're adjusting the language, I'll adjust the language too. Lav terutze kumetaratz? Are you not answering? Meaning, terutze here really means correcting. Are you not changing a little bit the language? Yes, you are. Taretz hachi. Once you're going to change it this way. Oh, it's he chalitzas, she requires chalitza. However, it's sarasa, the tzuru, oh chalitzas, omis yabemis, she can have chalitza or yibum. As Art Scroll famously says, since the text of the Baraisa requires emendation in any case, nothing can be proven from it. Beautiful. I had wanted to not spoil the surprise, but I don't think I can hold it back any longer. The Mishnah, this next Mishnah, it's actually not that complicated. And there are some second parak tidings. But then after that, the Gemara is going to give us some Agadita for today. All right. Shnei Achin is, if you're thinking, like, really, that's the surprise? Yeah, it is. Shnei Achin is one Shnei Achayos Milkatanos. What's happening here is basically, this is actually a lot like the 14th parak. We're just going to deal with the cases where one marriage is Daraisa, one marriage is Darabana. We're going to start with two Darabana marriages. Shnei Achin, two brothers. Nesuin Shnei Achayos Katanos, married to two Katanas. who are sisters. And by the way, they're not only sisters, they're orphans. And no, it doesn't say that, but the Masoret Sashas says it's in the Mishnah, and it's just clear from the case. So these are two rabbinic marriages. So what happens? Meis ba'al ha'shalachas man. One of the men dies. Halazu, this one, meaning the other one, that one, the widow, teitzei mishum achos isha. She leaves because of achos isha. She doesn't need anything because she's achos isha midrabanan, and therefore there's no yibum need at all. She could just go home. Rishtein, chen shtei chereshah. Similarly, with two chereshes, two cheresh women, right? They're rabbinic marriages, as we've already seen. And they are just go out with achos isha. Everything is fine. We don't need anything. Good. What about gedola uketana? One d'oraisa marriage, one d'rabbana marriage. We're a little in advance because we know the rules are ready for the next parak. But in this case, where everyone is healthy, the din is a little bit different, as we're about to see. It's a meis bala shel ketana. If the ketana's husband dies, then it's a ketana mishum achasisha. She's a rabbinic girl. This Yavam has a d'oraisa marriage already. She's a sister. She leaves mishum achos isha, and everything is fine. Good. Meis ba'al shel gedola. What is the d'oraisa marriage in? So now this man is rabbinically married already to a girl, and that girl's sister is falling to him in d'oraisa yibum. What does he do? So before we get into the 14th parak answers, 1/13th parak little question. Rabbi Elazar says, "Melamdim es haketana." We teach the ketana. We encourage the ketana. Shetima'inbo, she should do miyun. Another shavu'im tayin. She should be mamayin. She should, and therefore that says we were never really married. And since we were never really married, the husband could marry this new girl, which is a d'oraisa lady, and that would be the right thing to do. And because if she doesn't do this, then she's achos isha, right, which is a problem. Rama Gamliel says, "Imeana, if she does miyun, meana, then good, but we don't encourage her to do miyun." V'imla, let's say she does not do miyun. What happens then? Tamtim ad shetagdil. Then we w let this minor girl, we wait until she grows up, at which point, now she's married midah oraisa, halazo isha. And then she leaves the Yavama, the widow, already out of the oraisa marriage, she can leave because of achos isha. The reason we're doing it this way, there's no option of him taking the d'oraisa Yavama and keeping her and giving a get to the ketana, because in the end of the day, that the d'oraisa yavama will be still be an achos isha midrabanan, and therefore never allowed. The only solution that we can do is keep the ketana by him and the other one walk because of achos isha. But the only way to do that is to wait until she grows up. So that's Rav Elazar. Now why? Rav Gamliel seems to hold that we don't encourage them to do Yibam, to do Mion, I'm sorry. And also, the Megamliel clearly holds Ein Zika, as we saw already in the second parak, Daf Yud Ches, this taught us this. This is that place that Rav Gamliel held Ein Zika. There's clearly no Zika, because if there were a Zika, then he couldn't be with his wife, because she's Achos Zukukaso, the sister of the person he has a Zika to. And therefore, Rav Gamliel holds Ein Zika, and we just wait for them to get married, which the Gemara will talk about in a minute, and then the other one automatically goes away because she's Achos Isha. Tosfos seems to assume, and Rashash seems to assume that whole time that he's waiting, he can't have Bia with his wife because he holds, even though he holds, there's no Zika, but it still might be inappropriate for him to actually have Bia with the sister of the Zakuka. Okay. That's Rav Gamliel. So the first Rav Elazar said, just let her do miyun and everything's fine. Rav Gamliel said, yeah, but we don't encourage her. So if she doesn't want to do miyun, we wait till she grows up, in which case they can keep the marriage. And then the widow, she just leaves because of achos isha. Rabbi Yeshua says, this is a sad story, but we saw this all over the 14th parak. Woe to his wife and woe to his brother's wife. Why? Because he has to give a get. What's his ishto get? He has to give a get to his wife. And he has to do chalitza to his brother's wife. He can't be with either one because one is an achos isha, another one is an achos zakuka. He can't be with either one. Okay. Now the Gemara asks the question. You're telling me, Rav Elazar, that we encourage her to do to miyun. I'm sorry, I keep mixing up Mion and Yibum. I hope I've not been doing that over the parak. And the fact that I'm still stuffy to me makes them sound like exactly the same word. Umishari, is this really allowed? Vatani Bar Kapara. The Heiluga Bar Kapara says, and this is a nice little agadah. I mean, it's going to be a lesson. It sounds like Yibam, but we'll see in a minute. La'olam yidbak adam b'shlosha devarim. A person should cleave to three things. Obviously, a person should cleave to Hashem Yisbarach and to Talmidei Chachamim in a certain way. But we're going to see this new thing. Three things. B'yisrachek m'shlosha devarim, and you should distance yourself from three things. Okay. Yidbak b'shlosha devarim, cleave to three things. Number one, b'chalitza, cleave to chalitza. We'll see what that means in a minute. Vavas shalom, and to making peace between people. Vafaras nedarim, and to revoking vows, that meaning undoing nedarim. It's like hataras nedarim. Here we're not talking probably about the husband's undoing his wife's vows. We're saying that if somebody were to make a neder, instead of going and trying to fulfill the neder, better to get the neder undone in the first place, because nedarim are really serious. You should distance himself from three things. From miyun, we don't want people to do miyun. We even discourage, according to some, a katana to do miyun. So yeah, right. Okay, that's all I need for right now. Minhag pikdonos, don't accept the deposits from people. We're not saying don't deposit by others. Don't accept deposits. Minhag arvonos, and don't be a guarantor for other people. So we're gonna see why. But bottom line is, we clearly do not want people to do miyun. And Rav Elazar says, not only are we okay with it, but, and Aruch HaNer points out, nobody argues with Bar Kapara on this anywhere in Shas. So probably Rav Elazar agrees that we don't want people to do miyun. And Rav Elazar is saying actively, yeah, go, encourage. The Gemara says, that's true. You should distance yourself. But miyun de mitzvah shani. Miyun of a mitzvah is a different story. Yeah. A simple life lesson here. Is that, you know, we have rules sometimes. I'm not talking about the mitzvahs. Sometimes I am. But we have certain kolim, you know, oh, my Rebbe said X, you know, whatever. Or one should always do X, or this is the best way to live life, whatever, whatever. But we also have to look, first of all, the simple life lesson that everyone else is going to tell you is that you have to look at the halacha. And just because you have your rules and you have your whatever, and society has its values and whatever, and this is the way to do it, and these are the seven habits of highly successful people, okay, but halacha is halacha, and halacha wins. That's one point. But another point is just even within the rules themselves, evaluate, yeah? Don't just say, like, oh, you know, whatever. Right? What's the thing that, there's a thing that, like when people say there are no absolute truths. So I'm not trying to get into philosophy right now. But clearly, the person who's saying that believes that that is absolutely true, chora, meaning that there is one absolute truth, even though they're saying there are none. But really, there's one, right? So that's just an example of where I have a rule. Obviously, we do believe there are absolute truths. I'm just bringing it as an example. But the point is that, you know, we have these like life rules and life categories, and everything has to be a certain way. But like, slow down. You know, sometimes there are exceptions. So miyun de mitzvah, well, that's where Rebbe Elazar says we actually do encourage it. Fine. Now the Gemara is going to analyze these things. Gufa, the text itself. Tani Bar Kapara says, La'olam yidbak adam b'shlosha devarim, a person should cleave to three things. B'chalitza should cleave to chalitza. Why? Ke'abashol. It's like Abashol. We know Abashol. Tesanya, we have a braita. Abashol says, Hakonas yavimto. Someone who does yibum l'shem noy, for the sake of her beauty. L'shem ishus. Just for the sake of being married, he wants to be married. L'shem davar acher, or for anything else, ki'ilu pageya be'erva. It's like erva. It's not erva, probably according to most Rishonim, but it's like erva. Bekarov be'enai liyosa vlad mamzer, and in his eyes, it's like the vlad is a mamzer, maybe close. So meaning very serious. Don't do yibum unless you can do it absolutely l'shem shemayim. The chachamim argue on this, but that's what that is. Bavas shalom, bringing peace with people, you should cleave to that. Dichsiv, as it says, Bakesh shalom radfehu, pursue or go after peace radfehu and chase it. Ba'amar Rabbi Abo, Tasya radifa radifa. There's actually a gzera shava here. I don't know why we need the gzera shava here, but right, yeah, okay. The riff on Ein Yaakov seems to understand in Rashi, and Rashi also kind of sounds like this, that. This next line is just interesting. The pasuk itself is why you should cleave. But by the way, you should see something here. Amri Abba Rabbi Bo says there's gzeira shava. Ksiv hacha bakei shalom radfeihu. It says look, chase, go after peace and chase it. Zivasam, and there it says elsewhere, rots tef tzedakah v'chesed yimtza chayim tzedakah v'chavod. If somebody runs after tzedakah and chesed, he will find life and tzedakah, charity and chavod and honor. And the Mefarshim explain that honor means in this world, and life and charity mean in Olam Haba. So the point is, someone who pursues chesed is rewarded in this world and in the next world. So too, someone who pursues peace is rewarded in this world and in the next world. Another raya that this is not part of what Bar Kapara said. If this were part of what Bar Kapara said, then he would tell me to pursue to chesed. Right? Because that's the thing. And we're just learning Gezeirah Shavah from that to something else. The Gemara is just digressing. You're just letting me know. You should pursue Chesed. It's an important thing to do. It really is. Moving on. Rabbi Abba, we just said that. Let's move on. Bafaris Nadarim, cleave to undoing vows instead of trying to fulfill them. Kid the Rabbi Nasan, like Rabbi Nasan. The Sanya, we have in a Baraita. Rabbi Nasan, Omer, Rabbi Nasan says, Hanoder, someone who makes a neder, ki'ilu bana bama. It's as if he built a bama. It's a terrible thing. A bama is not that terrible. But a bama is sort of an altar that one sets up outside of the Mizbeach. Generally speaking, it is usur to do that. It used to be mutar, but then once the Aron moved into the Beis HaMikdash at a certain point, they all became usur, and Rishonim argue about exactly the scope and not just the scope, but like when the prohibition exactly applies. But bottom line is, now it's viewed as not the ideal way to serve Hashem. You shouldn't do it. It's interesting. Whatever. Why? What is it like building a bama? So there are a bunch of different ways to understand this. There are a bunch of different ways to understand this. But one way is that, right, the like a whole long Gezeirah Shavah. But I was just thinking, it's also a little bit like, I'm sorry, I just saw, I forgot. The thing I was saying is actually in the Ra'an, the hard scroll footnote. I was Mechave. So Baruch Shekivanti. This gets a Baruch Shekivanti Mazel Tov. Da, 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 da. Unfortunately, I don't want to do the sound editing right now because I'm trying to get you guys this as soon as possible. But one shot for why it's like Obama is that when one builds a bama, they've done two things wrong. Number one, they built a bama, right? And number two, that, it's probably not us to build a bama. But number one, that they're shechting a korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash. And number two, they're offering a korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Those are two different Asurim. Similarly here, the nether, there's kind of two problems. Number one, that the guy made the vow. Okay, that already is a problem. And then he also fulfilled the vow. And fulfilling the vow is also a problem. Why is fulfilling the vow a problem? Because every time one fulfills the nether, they say, no, it's fine. I can make more nadarim because I could just fulfill them and it's fine. And you encourage bad behavior, right? That's in general a life thing, yeah? That like sometimes we, you know, have certain paths that aren't good and we do certain things and they're not smart. We really shouldn't be doing them, but since we never see the consequences of them, we think it's okay to just keep doing them. I'm not talking about averas right now. I'm just talking about certain life, you know, paths that just don't work. But we try them and we go, oh no, it's fine. You know, look, I'm working it out. And okay, great. You know, but your rabbis are telling you it's a bad idea. Your coaches and everyone are telling you it's a bad idea. You shouldn't do it. It's not a good idea. Like nadarim. Yeah, okay, someone can maybe keep his nadarim sometimes. But Chazal, clearly, knowing people better than we do, understand that nadarim are a bad idea, so they're a bad idea, and we shouldn't do that. Okay. Right, and the other pshat for why it's like building a bama is from the Ran, that the bama sounds like a great thing, right? After all, I'm bringing a korban, aren't I? And not only am I bringing in the mikdash, or let's say I can't go to the mikdash, or whatever it is, I'm expanding, and I'm bringing it even beyond there. And okay. But it's sort of like Baal Tosef. Hashem doesn't want us to have a million jobs. Hashem wants us to serve him. He wants us to serve him in 613 ways and seven rabbinic ways, etc. Yeah? There's a defined limit of what we're supposed to do, and we're not supposed to do more than that. And there's already enough to fully actualize our lives within the Torah. And don't add more stuff. That's too much. The Chasam Sofer says somewhere, I heard it, but I haven't seen it inside yet. It's a good vort that that by Esav, when Yitzchak gives Esav a bracha, Yitzchak gives Esav a bracha, and he says that okay, I already gave Yaakov a bracha. But at a certain point, Yaakov's going to go down. And when Yaakov goes down, then Chas v'Shalom, then Esav will be able to rise up. And it says, Vayachasher tarid ufarakta ulo me'atzav v'recha. When Yaakov goes down, Esav can throw Yaakov's yoke off of his neck. What does it mean, kasher tarid? I believe it's the Chasam Sofer. He says that tarid is taryag plus one. Taryag plus one, which means that the Torah, is Baal Tosef. That when we transgress Baal Tosef, that is what allows Esav to take over us. Why? So there's two nuanced ways of saying basically the same thing. I'm just going to kind of mix them. That the Torah is this one system, and everything we're doing in it is perfect. And it's not a list of 613 things you can and can't do, and blah, 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 and all these rules. I think we spoke about this earlier. It's one consistent system, and that's it, and that's what it is. And so, if we add on extra restrictions, then first of all, it throws off the system, and second of all, now it's transformed from being one thing that fit exactly perfectly to by trying to squeeze in one more thing, now it's 614 individual things you have to carry. That's a lot harder to carry than one system, and therefore. We're going to fall. And that's why the Chasam Sofer says, don't institute, made up random restrictions. Right? It's interesting. Remember, it's the Chasam Sofer, just I know in Jewish history classes, this is talked about a lot, that maybe not anymore. But the Chasam Sofer famously said, Chadash Aser Min HaTorah. Chadash is Aser Min HaTorah, which seems to mean don't make any innovations. Don't add any, new kulas and whatever. No, because Chadash Aser Min HaTorah. The only t I looked, I did medium level research into this. It seems to me that the time Chasam Sofer said Chadash Aser Min HaTorah was actually not about a kula. It was actually about a chumrah. Someone wanted to introduce a new chumrah that didn't smack of reform or anything. It was just a normal chumrah. And Chasam Sofer says, "Whoa, Chadash Aser Min HaTorah, what are you doing?" And that's back to this idea. Fine, okay. Mishlesha if somebody if someone should distance himself from three things, what are they? Minameyonin, he should distance himself from miyun. Why? Dilma gadol mechartaba. Maybe when she gets up, she's going to regret it. And if she regrets it, is one way to understand it, then even though she's remarried to this other person, but the husband now finds out that she regrets it, and he can try to get her to leave the second guy and come back to him, which would be a lot of d'oraisa problems and mess up everyone's shalom bias. So just don't do miyun. Dilma, yeah, we just said that. Minapikdonas from accepting deposits from people. Why? Bibar masa, that means someone in your town. Devese kivese dai. Because the guy's going to keep coming into your house to visit his deposit or try to get it. And also, sorry, the simple pshat is that since the guy can come to your house, he may take his deposit back without you realizing. And then be like, hey, where's my deposit? Give it to me, right? And chap you, so that's not good. So don't accept deposits. Another pshat they give is that if you're next door neighbors with the guy, why are you guarding it for him? What extra gain is there in the fact that you're guarding it? You live in the same city with the same crime rate. So rather, the guy's just irresponsible. He doesn't want to deal with it himself. That's his problem, shtickle. It's not your problem, right? Which is another life lesson. That if we're irresponsible, we shouldn't expect other people to take care of us. Mashgiach has some great shmuzin about that. Okay. Mina Eravon. Also, don't be a guarantor. That's a specific thing. We're almost finished, but there's so much exciting stuff here. We have this idea, yeah, that you should not accept a guarantor. That's a specific type of guarantor. Ba'arvei Sheltzion. Guarantor is a Sheltzion, which is a place where instead of, again, what's a guarantor? Reuven wants to borrow money from Shimon. Shimon doesn't necessarily trust Reuven. So Shimon asks Levi and says, Levi, if Reuven doesn't pay, will you pay? Because you know Reuven, you trust him. On your word, I'll lend the money to Reuven. And Levi says, yes, don't do that. Why not? That's such a chesed. The answer is, it's a specific case. Arve Shel Tzion. We're over there. It's a place called Shel Tzion, probably. And there, what they do is that the way they collect the money is that the lender first actually goes to the guarantor. So Shimon goes to Levi. Says, Levi, you pay me. And then Levi, you get reimbursed by the guy. Meaning, you're really willing to stand up for this guy. Okay, put your money where your mouth is. You pay me. And then you can go get the money from him. That's just annoying. Remember, Rabbi Yitzchak, as Rabbi Yitzchak says, "My dechsev." What does it mean when it says in Mishlei, "Yira yeroa ki arav zar"? Many bad things will happen to someone who is an arev, a guarantor for a stranger. Ra achara tavo lemekablei gerim. We're going to see a few of these in a minute. Many misfortunes will come to people who accept gerim, and as Tosfos points out, we're not talking about a beis din that accepts gerim. That's a super, super holy thing. We're talking about trying to make people want to become gerim, or that they come and we don't properly dissuade them. The goal is, that someone comes with geris. It's I'm sure in Lakewood you guys are learning about this now, but that when gerim come, we try to like discourage them, and if they still want to do it anyway, then we say, okay, come on, welcome my brother, and we welcome them into the Jewish people. But it's not just like, hey, I want to do this. Okay, great. Come on down. That's not how it works. You have to be sincere. You have to be sincere. So if someone just accepts people who are not sincere, that's bad. Well, Arve Shel Tzion, or let's say whatever. There are certain movements out there who need more members. So they'll just say, oh, yeah, okay, if you're married to a Jewish person, you can just convert automatically. Right? That's a terrible thing. Well, Arve Shel Tzion, and to the guarantors of Shel Tzion, which is like what we just said. Someone who attaches himself to a dvar halacha, and please don't pause the recording here. We're going to explain what that means soon. Mekabel ger, it's going to be more harif than you thought and less harif. Mekabel ger, and people accept gerim to Rabbi Chalbo, like Rabbi Chalbo, the Amr Rabbi Chalbo, says the following thing: Kashim ger li Yisrael, gerim are difficult for Israel because sapachas be'or, like sapachas, which is a certain type of tzaras on the skin. The Mefarshim spend a lot of time talking about this. One that's based on a pasuk, that's why you picked that. There are different pshatim. Either they could be a negative influence, or it could just be simply, like we said, people who aren't sincere, and that's why they're not really gerim. Or it could be because they're so frum that they're so stringent, serious in the mitzvahs that it's actually a sort of a kitrog on everybody else. Whatever it is, I'm not going to get into that right now. Fine. Arve Shel Tzion, what about these guarantors? Why are there multiple misfortune? The Avdei Shlof Dotz. They do this thing called Shlof Dotz, which is what I just said before, that the guarantor pays and then the guarantor gets the money from the borrower. That's obviously a huge pain. Tokeya Atzel Dvar. What does this mean? Someone attaches himself to a Dvar Halacha. We're going to spend a lot of time on this now. The Tanya of a Brayser, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, Kol Homer Ein Lo Torah, Ein Lo Torah. Anyone who says, I do not have Torah. Anyone who says, I don't learn. Ein lo Torah. He does not get a reward for Torah study. Now, this is one of the more obvious things that I've heard, this Ben Hazmanim. The Gemara says, Pshita. That was Machave. It is obvious. Of course. It's like saying, oh, you know what? Okay, I didn't go sit in the sukkah today. Well, you're probably not going to get any reward for that, are you? So what's going on? Ela re'eder, kol ha'omer ein lo ela Torah. It's not that he says he doesn't have Torah. It's the opposite. I don't have anything except for Torah. Tayrose umnase. All I have is Torah learning. Then what? If I don't actually do the mitzvahs, ein lo ela Torah. All you have is Torah. That's it. Right? You just say, oh, Torah connected kulam. Just Talmud Torah connected kulam. So once I say the only thing I have is Torah, then I should get everything. No. Torah connected kulam is only when you also do mitzvahs. The Gemara says this is obvious. The Gemara says no. Not only is it, I mean, again, I'm just pointing out, the guy is full-time learning. He barely eats, he barely drinks, and he just learns. But if he doesn't actually do the mitzvahs, he does not get credit for the mitzvahs, and the Gemara says that is obvious. So what is it rather? Afilu Torah in lo. He does not even have Torah. Someone who says that all I do is learn and they don't actually do the mitzvahs, not only do they not have the mitzvah credit, they don't even have the credit for the Torah. My time, what's the reason? Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa says, Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, Ulmatem va'asisem. You learn and then you do. So the learning, this is really a bunch of longer psukim, but it says learn it, hashmarsim probably, and you should keep them to do them. So the learning is to do. Kol sheyeshno ba'asiyah, anyone who's doing the mitzvahs, yeshno b'lamida, he has learned it. Kol sheino ba'asiyah, eino b'lamida, anyone who does not have in the asiyah, in the doing of it, eino b'lamida, he does not have learning it. Meaning, bottom line, that learning is to do. Ibais ema. Oh, another pshat. Olam kidam risumi kara. Really, like we said before, about a guy who says, all I do is learn, 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 no matter what. And then he does not get mitzvah credit. In la'ela Torah. He only has Torah. So we asked, what do you mean? Why do you need that? Of course, right? Because he didn't do mitzvah. No, the Gemara says, lo tzricha to come a gamer la'achrine va'azle va'avde. That's true. But he teaches other people, and those people and go do. So let's say he says, yeah, I'm learning, but I'm learning and I'm teaching, and other people go do mitzvahs. Look how many families I made from, etc., etc. All these people, not that you can ever make another person from, whatever. But all these Torah and mitzvahs that I encourage, so I should get the credit for that, right? No. No, the tema isle agar ladide. You might say he gets reward for enabling these mitzvahs. Kamash Malan, no. If you did not do the mitzvahs, you don't get any credit. Okay. Now there's a whole new pshat. Vibayis ema, what's this tokei la'atzim u'dvar halacha? Someone who attaches himself to u'dvar halacha. B'dayana de'asei dina lakameh. It's a judge. And a case comes before them. B'day, like we just said that. V'gemar halacha. And he had learned a different halacha that's similar to this halacha. But it's not the same. U'medame milsa. And he makes the comparison. Well, I heard in one case that this. And so therefore the din is this. V'islay Rabbah, and he has a Rebbe, he can go ask. V'lo azil mashal, and he doesn't go ask the Rebbe. He just decides on himself. So he's tokeya atzmu, he attaches himself, he just sticks to, oh, no, but I learned this, and so it's the same thing. Who says, ask a Rebbe? So he didn't ask a Rebbe. That's a problem. Dam Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonason, Rabbi Shmuel Nachmani says, Rabbi Yonason, V'olam yira dayan, a person, a judge should see himself atzmo, ki ucherev. That there's a sword between his thighs, like where a dog, whatever, sometimes a dog will climb up into your lap, or I guess a baby. And now sometimes, imagine a sword. And Gehenim is open beneath him. It's scary. Shlomo had these 60 men. With they're holding weapons. It doesn't say that right now, but that's in the pasuk. Out of fear at night, now, there are swords. What are the swords? And they're learning war. That means the war is the war of Torah, of halachic debate. And they're scared of night. Why are they scared of night? Mipachat shel Gehenim shedomeh lelayla. The 60 men are the Sanhedrin, by the way. Rashi says. So these people, the point, it was not really 60, whatever it is. Maybe they're the different masechtas. But at the end of the day, they're holding their swords, their weapons, their halacha stuff, and they're scared of night. What's night? Gehenna. Fine. So meaning that that's the amount of fear that a judge has to have. It's like a little kid who's scared of nightmares. It's the same thing. They're like, oh, maybe I made a mistake. I should go ask a Rebbe, right? And no kid, again, I'm adding in my own mashal here, but no kid who woke up in the middle of the night because he thinks there's a monster in his closet is going to just go to bed. He's going to ask his parents to check under here and check under there and make sure it's okay, because that's what fear is. And so if somebody is, scared of messing up in a Dvar Halacha, they'll be Mesunim B'din, and then they'll go ask a Rebbe. Okay. Rabban Gamliel Omer Emiyana. Back to Gemara. Rabban Gamliel says that we don't encourage her to do Miyun. But if she does Miyun, good. And if she doesn't do Miyun, we let her stay with him because of the Zika thing. Where he holds there's no Zika, so she can really stay with him. And then when her marriage becomes Doraisa, then the other woman gets to leave after the fact because of Achos Isha. Ba minei Rebbe Elazar mei Rav. Rebbe Elazar asked a question from Rav. My tama de Rebbe Gamliel. What is Rebbe Gamliel's reasoning? This is a little complicated. It's going to get into a little bit of a Machlokas Rishonim, which we're not really going to go into. But there are two possible ways that this rabbinic girl, the katana, will become into a full marriage, thereby allowing the yavama, who's an adult, Yavama, allowing her to leave as Achos Isha. There are two ways for this to happen. One way is that, and I just want to point out, by the way, we're doing Yavamas. It's a little different from Beitza. It's a little different from Kiddushin. If you don't understand what I'm saying, I'm trying to be as clear as I can, but I know that specifically in Yavamos, different people understand it in a different ways. So if you're not understanding me, especially if you played it back once, and you still don't understand me, please do call me. Guys have been calling me. The best way to call me is regular phone, not WhatsApp. I don't see WhatsApp calls, but I'm really here for you for this. So please do so. Please call me if you're stuck, if you don't get it. We can work on it together. But yeah, because I feel like for everyone's sake, it doesn't make sense to try to record it in five different ways, for like different methods of understanding. Here, it's not even a skills thing. I don't know if you guys have picked this up in Yavamos. It's more like a how do you wrap your heads around it kind of thing. Some people do charts. I use my fingers. If you ever watch me like cheshbonning, the different people, it's like that cat's cradle game that I can never figure out how to play. But for some reason, it works for me for Yavamos. I guess that's why. But whatever. Some people do the menchis, and but it's not just the Yibum stuff. It's like a lot of these halachic things. If you say it one way, maybe it'll click with one guy and another guy. But then you tell it over the same way to another guy, and he's like, "What are you talking about?" There are multiple ways to say it. So please don't be nervous if you're not understanding stuff that I'm saying. Just in Kiddushin and in Beitza, you can say it one way slowly, clearly, it'll make sense. In Seder Neshim, in general, it's harder to articulate, but for me at least. But in Yavamos so far, it's really hard. So please do call me if you don't get it. I'm happy to talk it out in different ways. And obviously that was true in Kiddushin and Beitza too. But the point is that, don't think that you're just not getting it and the way I'm saying it. I can say it in different ways. I just, it depends on who's talking. So Blinetter, please do call if you have a question. Fine. But me name Rabbi, oh, no, remember. Rabbi Gamliel, I'll just go over facts. Rabbi Gamliel said that we could teach her to do Mion. That's one thing. Let's ignore that. She doesn't want to do, we don't teach her to do Mion, but whatever. Let's say she doesn't want to do Mion. We wait till she grows up. She grows up, and then now it's a Doraisa marriage, and the other girl can just walk away. The question is, what happened in the middle? How did it become a Doraisa marriage? Isn't this girl the sister of a Zakuka? And even if not, well, what is this? How did it become Mutter? Answer is like this. There are two ways to look at it. One way, I'm just going to tell you Rashi's on this, and remember that Rashba and Ritva argue, and Tosfos argues, that one simple way is that we assume that even though Katana Kedushin in this case is only rabbinic, but actually when she grows up, it just becomes Doraisa automatically. You just need to be with her. It's just automatic, even though it's a rabbinic Kedushin. That's what Rashi says. Again, the Mefarshim take challenge with this, but let's just say that it's a very simple halacha. The other way to understand it is no, it's not automatic. Rather, he does have to have bia with her. Oh, but what does that have to do with anything? It doesn't he have right now a yavama on him midoraisa? What does his bia with this rabbinic lady make the other lady go away? The answer is that you could say that Rabbi Gamliel holds that let's just say stam. Someone's brother's wife falls to them in Yibam. And the guy doesn't do anything about it. And that day he goes and he marries the sister of that girl. As soon as he does that, it undoes the Zika of Yibam. It turns the lady into an erva retroactively, and she can walk. So that's the other option. In which case, that's what we're saying here. It happens to be that he's rabbinically married to this girl. That doesn't really matter. Even if they had not been rabbinically married, he can just do Yibam to, no, not Yibam. He can just do Nisuin to her now, or Kiddushin even to her now. And boom, that will undo this other lady's yibum to him. Those are the two options. Bami Rabbi Elazar Mar Rav, Rabbi Elazar asked Rav, my time is Rabbi Gamliel. What's Rabbi Gamliel's reasoning? Mishum de kasavar kedusha ketana mitla tlu. Do we say it's because the kedushin of a ketana is pending, is in suspension? V'chi gadla gadli b'hada. And when she grows up, it grows with her, meaning that once she becomes an adult, boom, now it's an adult Kiddushin. Avagav d'lobal, even without a bia. Odoma, or maybe, or perhaps, Mishum t'kasavar, because he holds a Mekadesh Achos Isha. So anyone who's Mekadesh, the sister of a Yavama, I'm sorry, Nifter a Yavama, the Yavama can just walk away and everything is fine. Iba'al in, and therefore, if he did be a yes, ilo ba'alo, if he did not, to be a no. So, bottom line, the nafkamina between these two approaches is, does he need to actually do bia with this girl to let the other one walk away or not? Obviously, at some point he will. I just want to know, what is the point of kinyan? Is it, they call it, there's something like that, point of sale, point of transaction, something about that in like finance. So, Rav said that, Amar Lei, Rav didn't say Amar Lei. Amar Lei means Rav said. Rav's reasoning is, Mishum de Kasavar, Hamakadesh Achos Isha Yavama, Niftara Yavama Vahalchala. If someone is Makadesh, the sister of Yavama, then Yavama can just walk away and everything is fine. But there we involve Kiddushin. So he's not gonna be Makadesh her, he's already married to her. So therefore, there would be the Bia. He Baal, Baal in Ain. If they did Bia, then yeah, that's a Nisuin and a Kiddushin. However, now they're really married. And now the other one can go, Ilo Baal, and if not, then no. Amar Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes said, Rav, don't tell me that Reuben Gamliel said this. Why? And we'll see why in a minute. Amina, I think, Kinayim v'shachiv Rav, Amar l'hashmata. I think Rav was asleep when he said this. Now, the simple pshat seems to be, he is, we'll get to that in a minute. But there's no way Rav would have said this. This isn't true. Dasanya, we have an abraita. Mekadesh is a katana. If a man is Mekadesh a katana, Kiddushah Tuliyin. His marriage is suspended, meaning pending. We're going to see what happens with it. Either it'll stay the Rabbanan, or when she grows up, it'll be the Raisa. That's what it sounds like. My Tuliyin, what does suspended mean? Lav, does it not mean Ki Gadla, Gadli Bahadei, that when she grows up, it grows up with her. Apagav delo baal, even though they haven't had an abia, at that point it doesn't matter. The point is that the marriage itself just automatically becomes deraisu. No, Amar Rav Ravin Breider Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said to Rav Sheshes, Hamilsa de Katana Misla Talia, the Kaima. No, it means that it's in suspension for the following. Ibaal, if he then subsequently did bia after she became a gedola, then in it would be yes, a marriage. Ilo, and if not, then alo baal. If they did not do bia, then no, damra, because she says, "Hu adif minai, va'adna va'ana adifna minai." Basically, the marriage seems suspended because she says that on her end he could give her a get without her consenting to it. On his end, and on her end, she could just walk out and do Mion. So that's what it means, suspended. They're not really sure what's going to be because they don't know. Fine. So that's what that means. And I just want to point out this whole idea of Rav Sheshes saying that Rav was asleep when he said it. So on the surface level, it sounds like he's making fun of Rav. This is weird. Rav Sheshes is Rav's Talmid. Rav Sheshes is not only Rav's Talmid, but when Rav died, Rav was one of the, like, he had these many, many really, really intense practices of Hasidus, right? Which many, it's interesting when you look at them. Some of them are like really, really, really powerful and intense, and how could we ever do them? And some of them are like, Rav used to be the Chazan a lot, you know? So, like, it's interesting to put those together. I'm thinking now on the Chazan thing, it could be, because the way it says there is that he did it, L'chaim Mashanamar, Kavedas Hashem Honacha, should be mechaber to Kadosh Baruch Hu with what he gave you. So since Rav had a very nice voice, apparently he would be the chazan a lot. So it could be that the point isn't just that he was a chazan. The point is that he was a chazan l'kayim mashenemar ka, that he did it, that he davened a lot for the Yomod, but the way he did it was that even though he had a nice voice, he wasn't doing it because he had a nice voice. He was doing it to be mechaber to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It was a true kiyum of that. Maybe that's why it's such an intense pietistic practice. But Rav Sheshes was one of Rav's Talmidim, and Rav Yosef and Rav Sheshes, when Rav died, his Rav's various Talmidim split up some of his Hanhagas of Chassidus, and one of them that they split up was that this is brought in different places, that Rav never looked outside of his four amos. It's a machlokas whether that was a humility thing or whether it was like a shmiras inayam kind of thing. But Rav never looked outside of his four amos, and so Rav Yosef and Rav Sheshes tried that, That's why Rav didn't always seem to know who was talking to him in certain stories, because he really never looked up. It wasn't like in the street, it was like an always thing. So at some point, Rav Yosef and Rav Sheshes felt they couldn't handle it, and there's a machlokas whether they blinded themselves or whether the Hashem made them blind. Rav Sheshes ended up blind, Rav Yosef ended up blind because they couldn't keep this practice of Rav. Why am I bringing this up? Because if he's that much of a Talmud of Rav and he took Rav that seriously, and now Rav says something, and Rav Yosef Sheshes says, "Oh, Rav must have been asleep when he said this." It's like, it's like making fun of his Rebbe when he holds him in such a high esteem. So some of the poskim, some of the farshim, they translate this in like a nice fancy way. I mean, some say, no, you see that for the MS, for the truth, you're allowed to say it. And like, just because he doesn't want it to come out as like an untruth. Other people say that maybe there's like a special Kabbalistic interpretation of what it means that he was asleep, that this is true, that what he's saying is true, al pi sod, but we don't see it al pi negla. Other people say that, that this is in itself a defense of Rav, meaning Rav Yosef, Rav Sheshes holds that it can't be that Rav said this because I hold so much of Rav that he could never have said anything wrong. And so if Rav said this thing and it sounds like it was wrong, it must be he was half asleep. Because, and again, it sounds like he's making fun of him, but no, he's saying it seriously. He's saying, oh, it's like when people. Ever sometimes they tease each other, like, oh, how much have you had to drink? Because, like I said, a pshat that wasn't a very good pshat. But some people it's teasing. But for people like this, it's not teasing. It's a really big compliment. It's saying that if you're, if the person were sober, it's literally impossible for them to ever have said anything wrong. Unlike this shir. That's all, everybody. Thank you. I hope that it made some sense. And we'll get to Daf Kufiyot tomorrow. It's Hashem.